WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Wednesday morning. And we are just about a little bit over a month away from this year's 50s night in New Bedford in memory of Joe G's. It's going to be a fantastic night. We have here in studio, we have Scott Pemberton from the 50s Night Committee. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. And let's bring on our other guest on the phone. We have Don Mahler joining us as well. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me, Tim?
Can hear you. Yeah, you sound great. Great to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very excited because this is the year that everybody, you know, as much as New Bedford looks forward to 50s night every year, the WBSM audience really looks forward to 50s night. They love getting out there, seeing all the cars, hearing all the bands, but mostly being there with all the people and being there in honor of Joe and Don as Joe's granddaughter. I'm sure that means something to you to see the support that the community still has for Joe, even all these years after his passing.
Yeah, it's incredible. When before my grandfather passed away, he handed this event down to myself and a couple of others on the committee. And when I first started it, I really didn't know what I was in for in many, many positive ways. And like you said, Tim, it was really around the support, camaraderie, you know, and having this base of community that not only supports the event, but really supported my grandfather.
And Scott, you're involved in a lot of things in the community. You see how much New Bedford comes out for things, but it really is amazing how much they come out and support this event each and every year.
Oh, absolutely. I remember the first year that I got involved in doing this, you know, and then the following year, which just got even just bigger. I just get excited every year when it's around this time.
Yeah. And that's the thing about it is people, they want it to be the event that Joe put on. See, Don, that's the thing is so many times people want events to change. They want to be something different. And this is like the one event every year where people say, no, let's keep it the way that Joe did it because he had the way of doing it and he had the right way of doing it. And we should do it that way.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's really what 50s Night is all about. You know, it's a free event for the community, as you said, and my grandfather started this back. Here's a fun fact for you, Tim, in the audience, is that this actually event started back in 1991. So we're in our 34th year, which is absolutely incredible. And as you said, Tim, you know, the event stood the test of times and it has remained relatively consistent. And I think that's really important because we really, as the committee, we really strive to take a step back and say, why are we doing this? Yes, we're doing it for, you know, the community at large. We're also doing this to honor my grandfather and the 50s and really, you know, back to basics and family and fun and community.
And a man who, by the way, for most of those years was doing this as a committee of one. I mean, he was really handling a lot of the details. I remember you were talking with us about how difficult it was to kind of figure out all the things involved because he did everything on his own and he didn't really have a lot of assistance over the years.
Yeah, that was fun learning very quickly. But there's a strong team behind the planning committee that really allows us to create such an event. And we've worked through the years to create a playbook to say, okay, how do we kick off this event, whether it be the cars or the bands, the entertainment, the vendors, you know, soup to nuts. How do we do this year over year?
And Scott, that's a lot of work that goes beyond just the one night of what happens. This is a year in the making every year.
Oh, that's correct. You know, We every year we have the 50s night on the third Thursday, and then the very next day on that Friday, I'm at the DPI shop at Avenue already booking it for the next year. You know, and that's how quickly we just book it and we just start, you know, beginning for the next year. Especially now this year, like with Don said, you know, it's the 34th year, but so next year it's going to be 35 years. So we're going to really plan on doing some big things next year.
So But so next year it'll be pretty much this time period from the time that Joe started it to how old some of those cars were back then.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're pretty soon somebody's gonna have to start 90s night. We're really gonna feel nostalgia, right, Don? We're gonna be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, a chance for people to relive their childhoods and relive, as you mentioned, Don, a simpler time. And with that in mind, you know, that's why this is such a great family friendly event.
Yeah, and just for a reminder, and if you had mentioned this earlier, Tim, I didn't hear you, but the event this year is Thursday, July 17th. It's always, to your point around keeping it the way that it always is, it's always the third Thursday of every July with a rain date of July 24th. We'll start things off at 5:30 and ends around about 9 o'clock. And there are actually four bands that we have, and they'll be scattered throughout downtown itself. So we have four bands. We have Absolute, Chops Turner, Eddie and the Exciters, and then this year, in partnership with the New Bedford Concert Summer Series, Your Favorite Color. So we have a lot going on and super excited to kick things off this year.
And Scott, that really is a logistical thing that I don't think people understand the work that goes into that. To have these bands all performing, to have people playing music, and to be able to strategically place it all throughout the downtown area to make sure that there isn't that much overlap.
Oh, correct. You know, and that's one thing that we make sure. You know, we set up four stages, and we make sure that it's far enough apart that it doesn't interfere with each other, and that there's enough music for everybody to enjoy whatever. If they want to, you know, listen to Chops Turner for a little bit, they can. They can go see Edit Exciters afterwards. You know, so it's they're constantly always playing. There's always music going around. So
and room to dance too.
Oh, very yeah, absolutely yeah. Yes. You know,
so
yeah.
come down. You know, yeah. In your 50s
in
garb,
50s,
and and be ready to dance.
Yeah.
And so I know, you know, obviously. We had the couple of years where there was the pandemic and we had things going on with Joe's passing, but it seems like more and more cars are showing up the last few years. Scott, just talk a little bit about the car clubs and the work that they do to kind of get these cars to come down and show up.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, with the car club, we have Bob Ramwell, and we have Ron Morrow, and then we have Johnny Angel. So with those three guys, they're the backbone of the car clubs. You know, they make sure that they get all their car clubs, all the groups together, and, you know, strategically place them where the vets are going to be. You have them, you know, maybe on Union Street, we'll have all the vets there, and then we'll have different kind of classic cars on the avenue there, and then on Purchase Street as well. So, yeah, I mean, and it just gets bigger. I mean, last year the attendance was probably about 5,000 people. It's just amazing how it's growing.
And Don, you know, Scott's a little bit older than us, so but isn't it amazing how great these cars are kept and the fact that you can have more cars showing up because there are people who still keep these cars going and keep them restored and want to come down and show them off.
Yeah, and in a couple of points, it's incredible the cars that show up. I'm amazed every single year, and there's just such pride in ownership and in homage to the 50s, and that's, you know, obviously one of our big themes overall. I think last year, to the question that you were asking, Scott, last year we had Mask Corvette Club, the Legendary Street Rods, Bristol Country Car Club. I mean, the amount of attraction and attention that this event is getting year over year is quite incredible.
And the fact that when these cars come out, I mean, they are showroom condition. These aren't people showing up in rat rods. And, you know, these are people who you can tell that they spend their time and they spend their energy lovingly restoring these, or, you know, making sure that these things they've got the hoods open. You can see under the hood. There's not a spot of grease on those engines. The love that they show for these cars makes me think that, you know, there's probably a few arguments at home now and then about, oh, you're gonna buy something else for the car.
Right, yeah.
I'm just kidding. You can tell that the husband and the wife both are there proudly showing it off. With that in mind, Scott, is there any new features to the 50s night this year?
Well, not this year. Just with the like Madonna had earlier said earlier about the new group this year, where we collaborated with the new group there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of saving a little bit more for the next year, being the 35-year
Because I know you've got all different kinds of car groups knocking on your door to come and be part of this.
We do. And that's the other thing. You don't necessarily even have to be part of one of the car clubs. We do have room for anybody that lives in the city or even out of the city that wants to show off their car, that may have a car that wants to, you know, come in. We welcome that. You know, the more the merrier. So, yeah.
So, Don, does a 2011 Mazda qualify yet as classic?
I'm going to say not on the list, Tim.
Okay. So I don't have to drive my own vehicle down, but the WBSM van will be there. That's close enough to a classic at this point. But really, I mean, when we're talking about what goes on during the course of the night, what I love about it is it's the fact of I don't know that many people in New Bedford, really. But when I get down there, I know everybody. Everybody's waving to each other. Yeah. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's having conversations. And it really does get that sense of Don, like your grandfather always talked about here on WBSM, the way things were in the 50s, where everybody went down there and hung out and everybody was friends, even if they didn't know each other, even if they were in different social cliques, everybody was all part of New Bedford on Thursday nights downtown.
Yeah, community event. You know, back to basics, if you will, like as you bring me back, Tim, as you said, my grandfather, you know, the way that it used to be, the easier times, the simpler times, you know, where you could just go and you didn't have to worry about anything other than family and friends. And it really is just that. Even myself, you know, I grew up in New Bedford, but I live in the Boston area now. And even still, when I go to New Bedford, you know, I run into, you know, old colleagues, old teachers, old peers, and it's just such a welcoming, warm environment. And that's really, you know, our vision and really what we work hard to ensure so that people have that community experience.
And Scott, I know, you know, working with the city is as Mayor Mitchell says, you know, they're happy to work with any group that wants to put on an event themselves. The city doesn't want to be in the business of putting on events, but they want to give support to the people who take that on and handle that. So just a little bit about the process and working with the city to get this done.
Sure. And the city, you know, wonderful to work with DPI. You know, those they don't get enough credit. You know, they're out there. We've done a walk around, making sure that everything is going to be in place for that night. Making sure that if there's anything that we need, you know, so they're very, very, very helpful, you know. And like you said, yeah, they do help as long as, you know, they're not in the business of entertainment themselves. But they will, like I said, they do support, and they are a big, big, big help and big support.
And it also helps when, you know, Union Street isn't all torn up, too.
Get
more cars in that way.
Yeah, and this year, actually, so I don't know if you remember last year, we had the one of the big main stages there down by where the YMC is, down at the corner there. So we tried that out. It was all right. It wasn't really the good location. So this year we're going to put it all the way down to Route 18, like they usually do at the concert nights and stuff. So, and that will leave us some more rooms there.
So you're going even further down.
We're going further down this year.
So just give everybody, Scott, the layout of where this will be taking place.
Sure. Well, we'll be all the way from Union Street and Purchase Street. It goes all the way down, straight down Union, all the way down to Route 18. You have it on Cushion Avenue, Water Street will be open, just that whole area right there. So it's
a nice big footprint. But yet when you're down there, it's packed with people and packed with cars.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we got the four stages. It'd be at Purchase and Union. We got one in the Customs Square. Then we are by the Y, there'll be a DJ there, and then we have it by the on Purchase Street, right across from where you are at. We have the stage there. That's where mm-hmm. Indiana Ciders will be.
They're kind of over near Poor Farm.
Poor Farm. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, got tongue twisted there.
And that's a great spot to be in because, you know, we get the music from the band, and then when the band takes a break, we turn up the WBSM and play the 50s music on that, and then the band comes back. So we've got constant music the whole night. Now, Don, there's two different things that happen on 50s night. There's what I would call official 50s night time, and then there's kind of like when people just show up time. But But what's the official time for 50s night on the 17th?
The official time is 5:30. So we are working with members of the mayor's and the mayor's office to have some sort of representation that will officially kick the event off. And then Chops Turner will be doing the national anthem. So that's the official kickoff date. Now, will the streets be closed? And there's a lot of logistics and prep that Scott's been doing an amazing job on. Absolutely. But we're looking forward to kicking it off at 5:30.
But Scott, you know, people start showing up and wandering around all day. And it's great because all the businesses are open. So why not come down early and walk around and shop?
And that's one thing I realized even last year. I think around 3 o'clock, 3:30, they start showing up, and I'm like, maybe we should even change the time, you know. But yeah, no, it's amazing. Yeah, they start showing up 3:30. Some of the folks there and the cars are, you know, everybody's mostly in place and just ready to go. Like you said, you know, that's the next point. You know, you come down that early and you know, chop the local businesses. You know, we also have the food trucks there. You know, and we want everybody to enjoy the food trucks, but we also want you to enjoy the businesses that are there too. You know, the different restaurants that are there. You know, some of them stay open later. You know, just for this event, and they do very well. You know, with the support. So,
yeah, I mean, you go down, eat in one of the restaurants for lunch, and then grab one of the food trucks for dinner. It's a great day down there. And you know, hopefully we're going to get another beautiful day.
Oh, yeah. So far, we've been lucky. So, you know, we haven't had to use any of those rain dates yet.
So I think everybody's going to want to come down, even if you're, you know, if you've never been to 50s Night before, that's okay. You're automatically part of the 50s Night family. Come on down on Thursday, July 17th to downtown New Bedford. Don, Scott, I want to thank you both for joining us, and please keep us up to date with everything going on. And of course, we're going to keep talking about it because we're going to get everybody down there. And even the people that are all over the country that listen to us on WBSM app and online, we're going to make them feel like they're down there with us, even if they can't be here in person.
Yeah, that's great. And that's one of the other things that I like, too, is when right after we're done with our 50s, they can continue to listen to the 50s the whole night till, 11 o'clock, is it?
Till midnight. We're going to go 3 to midnight with the music this year.
Yeah, you know, that's in the... And I know myself, after we shut down at 9 o'clock, I'm listening to it. You know, I don't get to listen to all the music throughout the day, but I listen to it from 9 to the midnight. But again, it was my pleasure being here, and I do want to thank WBSM, because if it wasn't for WBSM, and actually on Barry Richards' show, I wouldn't be here, because I remember him saying, you know, who is going to help out with the 50s night? You know, when nobody was sure if there was going to be another 50s night. And so here it is, you know, and it's going to be here to stay, so...
Bigger and better and continuing on in Joe's honor. And
that's it.
And Don, we'll continue to play clips of your grandfather throughout the course of the night on 50s night as well. So
thank you. That's really special.
And so thank you both for joining us. And we look forward to the 17th of July.
Same. Thanks, thank you.
All right. We got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments, and then we'll have the news with Mike. Stay tuned.
California's governor upset with President Trump, a lawsuit against DNA company 23andMe, and a warning about a rare appendix cancer.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
California Governor Gavin Newsom criticizing President Trump's response to protests in the L.A. area. Last night, Newsom said Trump escalated the situation by sending National Guard troops and U.S. Marines to deal with anti-ICE demonstrations. He went on to denounce the immigration raids that led to the protests last week. Newsom called for demonstrators to remain peaceful and promised that anyone arrested during violent protests will be prosecuted. Over 200 people have been arrested so far in the Los Angeles area. ABC News is firing senior national correspondent Terry Moran following a social media post criticizing President Trump and his top aide, Stephen Miller.
That's according to CNN. Moran called Trump and Miller world-class haters in the since-deleted post, saying Miller is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred, while Trump's hatred is only a means to an end, and that end is his own glorification. ABC first suspended Moran before his firing. I'm Brian Shook.
President Trump was at North Carolina's Fort Bragg yesterday to help kick off the Army's 250th birthday celebration. Trump told hundreds of gathered troops that Saturday is going to be a big day in Washington, D.C. Saturday's parade to honor the Army's 250th birthday is expected to draw hundreds of thousands of attendees. The president praised the troops, calling them the greatest fighting force. The streaming competition is getting a little bit smaller. Disney is taking full control of Hulu.
The media giant has agreed to pay Comcast more than $438 million to buy its stake in the streaming service. Back in 2023, Disney paid Comcast $8.6 billion when it announced it intended to buy Comcast's 33% stake. Disney CEO Bob Iger said the deal clears the way for a deeper and more seamless integration of Disney Plus and Hulu content. The deal is expected to close by July 24th. I'm Matt Mattinson.
Former First Lady Barbara Bush now has her own postage stamp. The Forever Stamp was officially dedicated yesterday at ceremonies in Kennebunkport, Maine. Barbara Bush, of course, married to President George H.W. Bush and the mother of President George W. Bush. Nearly 30 states are suing 23andMe, the DNA genealogy company, filed for bankruptcy. The lawsuit seeks to stop the company from auctioning off the private genetic data of around 15 million customers. The lawsuit argues DNA data, health-related traits, and medical records are too sensitive to be sold without each person's consent. Customers of 23andMe can also take steps to have their genetic information that's stored by the company deleted. Health professionals are warning Americans that they are seeing an increase of a rare cancer among younger-than-expected patients.
Researchers say they're noticing an uptick of cancers of the appendix in patients in both millennials and Gen Xers. Among millennials, cases reported have quadrupled, and for Gen Xers, cases reported have tripled. According to an analysis published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, data compared from 1975 to 2019 in the U.S. While this type of cancer is still considered to be rare, it's normally detected in patients over the age of 50. I'm Katie Gray.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Rays at Fenway last night, 3-1. Those two back at it tonight at 7:10. And Marco Sturm was formally announced as the Bruins head coach yesterday in front of the press.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Temperatures starting out on either side of 60 degrees. Widespread sunshine as we head through the morning and into the afternoon. Not only that, but if you've been waiting for more summer-like weather, well, here you go. Temperatures right along the coast, going to be in the mid-70s. But as you head inland, expect the upper 70s and low 80s. It's still a little muggy today, but that will resolve itself as we move through tonight and into tomorrow. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. What are you doing this Saturday? How about heading down to Greater New Bedford Voc Tech for a free touch-a-truck event? You know Sierra. You love Sierra. She's on with Jose every Saturday. She's going to be down there from 9 to 11 as you get a chance to get up close and personal with emergency vehicles from New Bedford Fire, EMS, and police, as well as construction trucks and equipment. The New Bedford Mobile Library will also be on site as well. Plus, you can enjoy free ice cream for the whole family. And while Sierra is there hanging out, you've got the chance to score a family four-pack of tickets to see Kids Bop in July. You know Kids Bop. That's where they take all the popular songs and they have kids singing them. It's a crazy concert. My niece goes every year, loves it. And you could win a family four-pack of tickets to Kids Bop in July. It's all happening this Saturday from 9 to 11 at Greater New Bedford Voc-Tech, thanks to the United Way of Greater New Bedford. So come on down on Saturday and take part in all the fun. All right, again, 508-996-0500. That's my number here. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. You've still got about 20 minutes or so to get yourself entered into tickets to see James Blunt next week at the MGM Music Hall at Fenway. We're going to give those away after the show. Our final pair of tickets will be given away after the show. And then our contest for the Hauser concert will go live at 9 a.m. And you can enter to win tickets to that. That's happening next week as well at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. So we've got so many great shows to give away tickets to. And I can tell you, our giveaway schedule is packed. And Jackson, who gets all these tickets for us and helps us give them away, of course, thanks to Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven for making it all possible. But Jackson is our connection to getting these tickets. And he emailed me yesterday and said, got another show for you. And I said, oh, this is a good one. So you've heard in the news about how Rod Stewart is under the weather. He's battling the flu and he's had to cancel some shows. Well, hopefully he's nice and healthy by the time he comes to Xfinity Center, because we're going to be giving away tickets in the coming weeks to Rod Stewart, his final concert tour, and you could be there. So that's just one of the many great shows we have coming up, plus some of the big shows at Fenway Park. One of the hottest tickets of the summer is My Chemical Romance at Fenway. We're going to have tickets to that to give away. So many more. And again, brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, 115 Huddleston Avenue, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where they're going to be celebrating their fourth birthday / anniversary, whatever you want to call it. But they're going to have a big blowout on Friday, from 4 to 6. I'll be down there. Stephanie Burke's going to be down there offering readings. There's going to be all kinds of vendor samples, raffle prizes. You're going to get to spin the big wheel and win prizes. And they're going to have a great door prize as well. So again, 4 to 6 this Friday at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. All right, let me take a break here so I don't fall behind. And if you want to call in, 508-996-0500, we'll be right back. And that would be these two twins from Warwick. You can read about them at WPRI.com. But these two twins in Warwick, their names are Josh and John Maynard. They are the valedictorian and salutatorian of Tollgate High School. Josh finished with a 4.81 GPA to be named valedictorian, and John finished with a 4.79 GPA to be named salutatorian. So really, by what, two-tenths of a point? No, tenths, two-one-hundredths of a point. So that means that they were probably, you know, neck and neck for the whole year kind of competing. And now not only are they both graduating from Tollgate High School, but they're now both going to Brown University. And they're both studying political science. But my favorite quote, and by the way, they're also athletes. They were on the track team, I believe the tennis team as well. They were co-captains of cross country, track, and tennis. They were also class president and class vice president. So they're going to both study political science at Brown University. They've been holding mock election nights every election together. They've been together on student office for all 4 years. But my absolute favorite quote of this story is Josh says, "I'm just looking forward to living in a separate room from John, honestly." So even though they're both going to Brown together, they're not going to be roommates. They're finally going to get away from each other when it comes to you know, where they're going to be staying in the dorms. Love that. And I don't know how that works. I from my understanding, it's a random assignment. From my understanding, I don't know if that's how Brown does it. But I remember when I was going to go to Boston College, so was my best friend, Pat. He was going to go together. And we wanted to be roommates. And we had filled out all the paperwork to be roommates together. And as it turns out, I didn't get enough financial aid, so I couldn't go. And so he showed up on the first day, and the sign on the door said Pat and Tim. And so he's thinking to himself, this is so great. They thought Tim was coming, and he's not coming. So now I've got a room to myself. This is awesome. And then he opens the door, and in the room is this long-haired, hippie-looking kid sitting in the lotus position on the bed, burning incense or whatever he was doing, you know, played whatever weird music he was playing and doing his chants. And Pat's like, hey, man. And he goes, hi, how you doing? I'm Tim. So he just got a different Tim and he was so excited thinking that he got his own room. And then he ended up getting it. But they ended up becoming good friends. And I think they're still friends to this day. So I don't know if he's still the same hippie. He basically said, yeah, this Tim is a little bit different than you. And I was like, well, that's only because I can't grow my hair that long anymore. But yeah, very, very, very funny story. And then when I finally did go up to visit him at Boston College, I was like, oh man, I'm so glad I didn't come here just because it was so difficult to get to. But anyway, 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and be heard. It's a beautiful day out there. It's shaping up to be a beautiful couple of days before we'll get some more rain this weekend. But it's a good time to get out and start grilling. And what better place to go and get things to throw on the grill than the butcher shop? 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, where the Pinaretta family has been running the butcher shop for over 30 years. And they know that the perfect meal starts with the perfect ingredients. So fresh meat, seafood, hot plates, baked goods, wine, beer, cheese from all over the world, everything you could possibly want at the butcher shop. As Eric likes to say, they've even got soccer balls, everything from steak to soccer balls. So check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Get yourself some of those celebrity pork chops. Throw those on the grill and tell me you'll ever go and get a different kind of pork chop ever again. You won't. You'll be convinced. I have not had another pork chop since I got the celebrity pork chops at the butcher shop. I can't walk into the supermarket and be like, yeah, no, can't do it. Now I'll just go to the butcher shop and get some celebrity pork chops instead. And of course, all the fresh seafood that they have as well. You should be stopping by there to get the lobster for your lobster rolls. They always have great prices on lobster. And they have fantastic prices on lobster rolls themselves. Everything you could possibly imagine. Check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Whether it be for something to cook yourself or to get something that they've already prepared and made for you. All right, let me take my final break of the morning and then we'll be back to wrap things up. We've got time for you at 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And I kind of broke my own rule of I don't play, you know, more than one song from the same artist each morning. And I don't know if it's not an actual rule. It's just my own preferences. I don't do that. Whereas Chris will get into a theme. You know, I go the opposite direction. I try not to repeat the same artist. But I had to play that because, you know, if you listen to everybody talking, it is the end of the world as we know it, no matter what's going on. What's going on in L.A. is the end of the world as we know it, or the end of this country as we know it. Trump having a military parade is the end of the world as we know it, or at least the end of this country. And it's all just noise and bluster. It really is. It's all stupid. Okay? I get why people are protesting in L.A., and they have every right to do that. But then don't go smash the window of a store and take stuff out of the store. And again, I don't think the people who are the honest protesters who are down there are the ones doing it. I think you got opportunists that come and take advantage of those situations. Just like when there's any kind of protest, you've got people who are there to honestly voice their opinions and voice their feelings. And then you've got idiots that take advantage of that to cause problems. And by the same token, you know, I think you've got the ability and the knowledge at the local level to kind of handle those things. And you have to understand that The problem isn't that Donald Trump sent the National Guard in. It's that he did it on his own without consulting the governor, the mayor. That's where they have an issue with this. And also, plenty of people on the ground saying it was unnecessary. You know, I keep seeing this phrase put out that the Los Angeles is burning, the city is being destroyed. But that's not what's happening. Have there been isolated incidents of things getting wrecked? Of course. But this isn't the Rodney King riots all over again. This isn't Watts. This is people standing out there and protesting, and they don't want to have that happen. It's going to be a bad look for Donald Trump on Saturday when his SDE military parade is happening for his birthday party. And it's a split screen on CNN with what's going on in LA at the same time, or some of these No Kings rallies that are going to be going on around the country. So, I don't know. We can talk more about it tomorrow. I'm out of time for today. Chris McCarthy's coming your way with South Coast Now. He's